Let's do it.
To the right, 5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he pitches
look at
it.
This.
Demole Williams, touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me!
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back with another episode of the Clap in the Pocket podcast. I am your host, Jason Brown. You can find me on Twitter at BrownJason, and I am here with the man, the myth, the legend, Miles Gorham, a.k.a. Clamps, a.k.a. Adam Thielen, can't catch anything on me, here to talk about his former life, former position group.
Oh,
talk
man.
To us about some DBs. What's going on, Miles Gorham?
Not much, man. You know, the Adam Thielen jokes, it's kind of funny just because I played cornerback in high school, so it's always fun playing against, you know, get to say that an NFL Pro Bowl, All-Pro wide receiver didn't have a catch on me in high school, so that's kind of cool.
That's what I'm talking about, clamps. And obviously, you know, with that on the resume, you are the right person for us to talk to about these defensive backs. So what's a top five series? Normally, we've just been blessing you guys with five. One episode, JR snuck in an extra and got you to six. But today, we're going to break you off with 10 players analysis for the safeties and for the cornerbacks. But before we get there, as always, we got to get a little bit of business out of the way. If you haven't already done so, head on over to climbingthepocket.com, click on the draft guide, send the $5, get your draft guide, support a good cause. You feel good. You learn more about the draft. Win-win for everyone here. So just go ahead and do it. Got that business out of the way. Let's talk about some defensive backs. So I think we should start with the safeties. Miles, who's your number five at the safety position this year?
Yeah, so if we're starting at safety. I think, you know, one of my draft crushes this year, I think he's a phenomenal player, and I don't think he gets enough credit based off this draft class. And overall, I think this safety class is pretty top-heavy in terms of the class. I think you'll see about these five guys, in my opinion, in terms of potential instant impact, you know, guys that can come in and play right away and, you know, be core special teams guys for sure. But my number five safety is Jesse Bates, the third from Wake Forest. To me, he's, you know, when I watch him on tape and everything like that, I think he plays a lot like, you know, coming back out of college from Boston College. He plays for the Denver Broncos now, but Justin Simmons, he's a ball hawk. He's your prototypical free safety. So he's going to, you know, command the back end of your, you know, command the center field of your defense. And I think he kind of tested that too. He doesn't have a overall long speed. He ran a 4.5 flat, which, you know, for me, for the way he plays, I thought was solid. But one thing that kind of sets him apart for me is he also has return ability. He had a few punt returns for touchdowns. So he's able to do a little bit of everything. He's a playmaker with the ball in his hand. So when he does go up and get the ball and intercepted, he's not just going to go down and you know, get you nothing. He's the type of guy who's going to, you know, he's going to try to score, and he's good with the ball in his hands. So I think that's kind of important for me, you know, with my safeties is, you know, not just getting an interception, but being able to set your offense up in good field position, or, you know, getting in the end zone. So I'm a big Jesse Bates fan. I really don't think he gets enough credit in terms of the ranking, just because, you know, the big names at the top. But I think, you know, if he were to be there in the, you know, late second, I could see him, you know, going as high as late second, you know, early to mid third round. I think that'd be a perfect spot, you know, to go pluck him and, you know, go fill a free safety role that you need.
Yeah, right there. And you're really speaking my language with that there. You threw my former draft crush, Justin Simmons, out there. You're talking about,
I was a big fan of Simmons too back then.
Talking about that return ability, making me think about my draft crush, Eddie Jackson. Like, yeah, I'm going to have to go watch some tape of Jesse Bates here after we get done recording. Who you got at number four, man?
Yeah, I mean, Alabama products everywhere. They're all over the field. What's funny is in my top five, you're going to see two Alabama safeties in this grouping. But this one, you have Ronnie Harrison from Alabama. I think he's another one of those prototypical free safeties. You know exactly where he's going to play. He's going to play the center field of your defense. But what he does a little bit more than what Jesse Bates does is just overall his versatility. I think he's a little bit better in the run game and the run support. He comes down and fills extremely well. He's a, but he's also really good at manipulating quarterbacks. I think he does a really good job of kind of disguising his coverage, and he does. He fed really well off of. I'm not going to compare compare them, but like you know the way you see with the Minnesota Vikings, you see you kind of see the way the two gel and the way they work really well together, and Anderson Dejo and Harrison Smith. That's kind of what you saw with Minka Fitzpatrick and Ronnie Harrison, is they communicated extremely well together, and he's really good at just kind of controlling the whole defense. And I think he doesn't get enough credit for that Alabama defense and how good they were on the back end. And for what he's able to do, I mean, for, like I said, for the defense that they played, he was all over the place. You know, every time you're watching like Minka Fitzpatrick or Rashawn Evans, Deron Payne, he's flashing. Ronnie Harrison was flashing. And I know as a true junior, he was able to get on the field pretty early for Nick Saban. And, you know, he does everything you want in a free safety. So I have him ranked higher than Jesse Bates just because I think overall he does a little bit more with communication, with coverage manipulation, and does a little bit better in supporting the run.
So should I be worried at all about, you know, Mr. Harrison here? Because yeah, I'm going, you know, I kind of lean towards the analytics side of things and like to dig into the numbers, and I'm looking and, you know, looks like some of his athletic testing is missing, and you know, yeah, the jumps weren't great. Is he another one of those Alabama guys who maybe is coming out a little nicked up, or what's going on there? Why don't we have testing numbers for him?
Yeah, I definitely could see that. I think he was a little banged up, and I think maybe some of the testing he didn't really like when he was, you know, doing it. So, you know, he kind of is, you know, in that motion of let my tape, you know, do the talking. But overall, I think, like you said, you know, these guys do wear down a little bit at Alabama, just the way they play and the way they're, you know, they're utilized. And that could be kind of what we're seeing with Ronnie Harrison. But I think in terms of the mental aspect of the game, I don't think you're going to have too many safeties that are going to understand NFL offenses and be able to run defenses as well as a guy like Ronnie Harrison. So I think I understand some of the concern, but I overall, I don't see it as too much of a problem. I think he does a really good job of reading and reacting in the NFL on tape. So I wouldn't look too much into it, but you always like to know the numbers just because you know exactly what you're getting. But he's definitely on tape a prototypical free safety.
All right. So, this is a guy, the next guy on your list, and obviously I'll let you get into him here. But number three, he's someone I'm very interested to learn about because it's getting a lot of buzz. His name's getting a lot of buzz here lately, and I'm not going to lie, I know absolutely nothing about him. So let us know about your number three, and why is everyone talking about him these days?
Yeah, well, I mean, besides his brother being, you know, being an NFL player, he's a free agent currently, which he probably shouldn't be, but, you know, he's Eric Reed's brother, Justin Reed from Stanford. He's my third rated safety. His versatility, I mean, the guys all over the field, what they're able to use with him is, like, he lined up in the nickel. Like, I'm not going to compare him. I don't think he's quite on the level of a Minka Fitzpatrick, but I think they used him in a similar way. And I think that's kind of why I'm so enamored by him, is he can move down and play in that nickel position and play a little bit of a strong safety role, all while, you know, also being able to play as a free safety if you need him to. But I do think he's more of that strong safety down in the box nickel type of player. So Justin Reed, you know, he blew up the combine. I don't think anybody really expected him to be, you know, as prolific as he was. You know, he ran a 4.4 flat. He jumped pretty good. His broad jump was really good. His three cone was unbelievable for what, you know, what you want out of a safety. So Justin Reed, he's a willing hitter. His arguably to me, I think what has me rated so high though is his ability to just read and react and kind of be all over the field. He knows what the plays are, you know, on. He knows everything the offense is trying to run. His ability to recognize, you know, screens and play man-to-man coverage. Like, he does it all, everything you need in a safety. I think he kind of does a little bit of everything, and I think that's why I'm so enamored with his tape, is just because he's all over the place, and he made so many plays for the Stanford defense, and his ability to kind of go get the ball. He struggled at the combine, you know, catching the ball, but on film, he was making diving interceptions, knocking the ball away, you know, able to, you know, be a ball hawk in coverage So I think he can show that at the next level. And I think, you know, any team that's looking to be looking for a versatile, strong safety, I think he'd be perfect. Because for me, I could really see him going anywhere from pick, you know, back end of round one to the middle of round two. And you're, to me, you're getting one of the better defensive backs in the whole class, just because of his overall versatility. Like I've done some fan speak mock drafts, and if Justin Reed falls, you know, in the back end of round one for the Vikings, or, you know, you trade back, I think he'd be a great fit for what the Vikings are looking for, just because they need a nickel player, and they need to probably, you know, somebody to kind of succeed, successor for Anderson Dejo. And I think Justin Reed could be that guy. You know, in year one, he could be one of those guys that plays nickel, and then down the road, he could fill in and be your safety. So, and be an interchangeable safety, which I love, because that kind of versatility, so it's so important, especially in a lot of these defenses. So, I'm a big fan of his, and this safety class in general, like I said, the top five are really good, but I think Justin Reed kind of gets you to that point where you start getting even more excited about these, you know, the top three guys. So, I think Justin Reed's a phenomenal guy, phenomenal safety.
I'm not sure what fan speak is telling you, but, you know, if the NFL knows what they're doing and has been following the CTP mock drafts, the Panthers will go ahead and make that pick, make the smart pick at 24, and add some talent to their defensive back group. But number two, who you got for me, man? Let's not go and relive the glory that was the CTP mock draft. Who do you got at number two for your safeties?
Yeah, this is kind of similar to me for the tight ends. Is the top two guys they're kind of interchangeable. I can understand wanting to take this guy over. So I have Derwin James, from Florida State, redshirt sophomore, 6'2", 215, big physical safety who's not afraid to get it, to mix it up in the run game. He's physical against tight ends and receivers. He can run with slot receivers. He's so explosive. He blew up. I mean, 4.47 40, 21 reps on the bench, 40-inch vertical, 132-inch broad jump. So he's able to do a little bit of everything and show you why he's so dynamic, because this guy's the real deal. I mean, if you wanted a player comp on him, I think, you know, a guy like Eric Berry, but a little bit more physical than Eric Berry, which is kind of hard to do. I think he's so stout in the run. I think he's that type of player, like for the Pittsburgh Steelers, if they're looking for a guy that they need in the playoffs to cover Rob Gronkowski, he's that type of player you line up against the Rob Gronkowski to kind of try to neutralize him because of his size, his physicality, his strength, and his ability to be quick twitch that like he is. This guy's a top 10 pick in my opinion. I would be hard pressed to, and really surprised if he doesn't go in that, you know, anywhere from 7 to 14, 15 range. But I honestly think he goes probably in closer to the top 10.
Yeah, and it's and what just happened there is something that I really enjoy, is when, you know, the comparable that you get from watching a player on film and then kind of the comparable that you get when you look at a player's metrics kind of line up there. You mentioned Eric Berry as your comp for Derwin James. And then you go over to playerprofiler.com and you just look at his, you know, athletic testing and what he was able to do while he was at Florida State. Same comp. So that's pretty high praise both from you and from the folks over here crunching the numbers. So, yeah, that's a very, very exciting prospect. But, you know, after we come off this, I feel like, you know, we talked, you know, a little bit ago, we talked about some tight ends. And I feel like it's the same thing, because you got me really excited here about your number two. And so, like, I need you to really bring it here when we get to number one to help me understand. You know, we're comping to Eric Berry. Like, what could be better than that in this class?
Yeah, and I think, and the comp for, you know, my next guy, my number one is, you know, it's Mink. I have Minkah Fitzpatrick as my number one safety, just because I think his overall versatility is, it's hard to beat, just because he was that, the, you know, the leader on that defense. He did it all. He played on the outside as a corner. Everyone, you know, at times when they needed him to, he's played a lot of the nickel. He can be a free safety. He can be a strong safety. He's a willing tackler. His read and recognition is probably the best I've seen in a while coming out. His ability to react and see a play before it even happens is phenomenal. not many guys can kind of read the whole field the way he does on defense. And plus he's fantastic in coverage. So, like, you know, I talked about Derwin James being a, you know, a tight end neutralizer, but Minkah Fitzpatrick can do that with safeties. I know safeties. He can do that with slot receivers, tight ends, running backs. He can guard them all. And I think Derwin James can too, but I don't think he's quite as refined as Minkah Fitzpatrick is in terms of pass coverage. So I think that's kind of where some of the separation is for me between those two guys. And for me, the way he can interchange and play all over the field in terms of nickel, free, strong safety is, you know, Minkah Fitzpatrick does remind me a lot of Harrison Smith. And you can argue how all you want of who's better between Eric Smith and Harrison Smith and Eric Berry. But I think, you know, in terms of when they're both healthy, they're arguably the top two or three best safeties in the entire NFL. So to me, they're kind of interchangeable just because of how great both guys are. But for me, just Minkah Fitzpatrick's overall ability to kind of play everywhere. But it's not one of those, you know, what's the saying where, you know, people say, you're really good at a lot of things, but you're not great at any one thing. I don't really find that to be true with Minkah Fitzpatrick. I think he's fantastic at all those things. But I think, you know, the overall best role for him, in my opinion, would probably be in nickel or, you know, straight, you know, free safety, interchangeable free safety, strong safety. I think he can play both. So I don't think it really matters in terms of what you need him to do. He's not pigeonholed into playing one spot. If your defense needs that nickel player, that's what he can do. If your defense needs a strong safety, that's exactly what he can do. If your defense needs a free safety, that's exactly what he can do. So if you need him to play corner in a pinch, he can do that too, because he's so athletic. And yeah, like I said, for me, he's a top five player in this draft. He's probably closer to my top three in my top three, just for how good he is. He didn't test quite as explosively in terms of, you know, his vert and broad jump as Derwin James, but I don't think he needed to prove anything like that, just because I think his on-field vision and his on-field read and recognition is just, it's so good. It kind of helped makes up for a little bit of that.
All right. You convinced me. And yeah, like the descriptions that you gave me there of those top five safeties. And then when you go and you look at the athletic profiles of some of these dudes, there's a lot to be excited about here. But what I'm really excited to get into, because I've seen a sneak peek of these rankings, I'm excited to get into these cornerback rankings in yours, because, you know, the thing that I like about both you and JR is that you don't really care about what consensus says. You go, you watch the tape, you make your own conclusions, and you're not afraid to back them up. So I want to get to these corner rankings because they are a little bit different than consensus, but I also know that because they're different than consensus, you will have had some strong thoughts on, you know, why they're different and what it is about these players you like and why they might be in a different order than people are used to seeing. So with all that out of the way, let's hop to it. Let's get to number five. Who you got for us, man?
Yeah, number five. This one's probably going to surprise some people, but I think this guy's phenomenal. I have MJ Stewart, and you could argue that he could potentially even move to safety at the next level, but I also think he could, you know, maybe down the road, but I think, you know, the way he's not quite as quick twitch or anything like that inside, in terms of, playing an outside as an outside corner. But I think if you plugged him in as a nickel corner from day one, I think he'd be one of your best defensive backs on your team. He can even shift back to safety if you need him to. Like I said, down the road, that could be his, you know, potential long shot, but his position, I mean. But MJ Stewart from North Carolina is arguably one of my overall favorite players in this draft in terms of like a draft crush, just because watching his film was so fun. He's all over the place. He primarily does play the nickel, and did for North Carolina, especially his senior season. So I think you get to see him play against, you know, twitchier players in the slot. You get to play against running backs, tight ends. So you get to see his versatility and kind of what he can do there. And with his size, he's about, you know, he's just shy under 6 foot, you know, 200 pounds. But he's a willing tackler. He comes off the edge and blitzes hard. He can make moves against linemen when he's blitzing downhill. And I think what he's able to do on that back end, what he was able to do for North Carolina was great. And some of the receivers he was able to lock down was even more impressive, because he got attacked quite a bit in some games, and you could see it early in the game where, you know, a quarterback's trying to kind of target him because he's guarding their best receiver. And then, you know, later on in the game, it just seemed to dwindle. Quarterback started to figure out, this isn't the kind of guy I want to throw against. And like I said, from day one, I think, you know, I don't expect him to be a top 50 pick. I expect him to kind of go more in that, you know, late round two to mid round three range, which I think is perfect. I think it kind of lowers his expectations, but I think if you use him in the right way, more as a nickel corner, or a, you know, even eventually transition him into a safety, he could be kind of that Malcolm Jenkins type of player. I don't know if he tested quite as athletically, but I think he could kind of be that kind of guy who early on plays corner, but eventually transitions to safety. But I think that highly of him just because of the way he commanded and ran that defense for North Carolina. He was the captain. He was the guy that kind of, you know, did it all for them.
All right. Jumping right into it with the MJ Stewart in the top five. And you know what, Miles? While people might say that you're crazy, when you go and you look at this man on playerprofiler.com, his player comp is Chris Harris. So, you know, maybe you're onto something and everyone else will catch up to you. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Well, you started us off pretty strong here with these cornerbacks. What do you got for me at number four?
Yeah, next guy. I think this guy is your prototypical outside press corner. Isaiah Oliver out of Colorado. He's big. He's 6'1", you know, maybe a little on the leaner side, but, you know, 190, 195-ish, right in that range. But, man, this guy, when he gets his hands on you, he's really good. He didn't, you know, he tested kind of as you expected in terms of the 40. You know, I think he ran a 4.5 flat, maybe a high 4.4. But that's okay because of his length. If he gets his hands on you, you know, you see some of these bigger press guys, they don't need the downfield speed to be, you know, to be all that great, you know, to be great, because he's a ball hawk. He's got long arms. Excuse me. He's got long arms, and his ability to go up and get the ball and, you know, make sure his guy doesn't catch it is really good. He plays on both sides of the field, which I think is really important for an outside corner, just because you never know what side he's going to play on at the next level. And I like my guys to be able to move all over the place if they need to, because staying in one place kind of, you know, it works for plenty of guys, but I think if you have that versatility where you can play on both sides of the field, I just think it's that much better for your game to get that much better. He's not really much of a nickel guy just because of his size, but he does have good hips. He's got the ability to react to the ball and find the ball in the air. I guess you could say he's a ball hawk because he'll go get the ball, but I don't think, you know, at the next level, I don't really see him having a lot of interceptions just because of the defense he'll probably play in. I do see him just more of a guy that just doesn't let the guy in front of him catch the ball, which, you know, in a defense like Mike Zimmer, that's all he asks. He's not always asking for interceptions. He just wants, you know, his defensive backs to not let the offensive players catch the ball, which that's Isaiah Oliver to a T. And he probably could use some work, you know, and, you know, forcing the edge a little bit in the run game, you know, just making sure that, you know, he's forcing the play inside instead of, you know, letting them bounce outside. I think he kind of struggles a little bit on that end. And that's probably why he's a little bit lower on my rankings. And just because I don't think, I struggle the most with Isaiah Oliver is I think, you know, he could do well in both systems, but I think he's better. He's a lot better in press coverage than he is in off coverage. So I think he'd primarily need to go to a man scheme instead of a zone scheme, just because I think he's better when he does get his hands on receivers.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, let's keep this thing moving along. And who you got at number three, man?
Yeah, number three. I think I'm gonna I'm gonna make some people mad just because I know consensus has him as CB1, but I have Denzel Ward as my third ranked cornerback. And it's not because I don't think he's good, because I think he's phenomenal. I think he's easily one. He's probably going to be the first corner taken in this draft. But for me, I just think it's, you know, and it's not really any through his fault of his own, just because the guys he's played with, you know, he played with Marshon Lattimore and Gerrion Conley last, you know, in 2016. So he didn't get to see the He saw the field more as, you know, the third corner because he wasn't quite up to par as those guys. And I think that's okay. It's okay that he wasn't, you know, on those guys' level as a sophomore. But as a junior, he stepped in right away and became that, you know, the wide receiver, that cornerback number one, and locked down a lot of really good wide receivers in the Big Ten. The dude's extremely fast. He ran a 4.32. He jumped a 39-inch vertical, 136 broad. So there's a lot to like about him. He's a little bit shorter. He's more of a 5'10". And he's like 5'10", 190, so he's not quite as big. But I think where I struggle the most with Denzel Ward is I think – and this isn't a knock, but I think where he – I think where he'll excel the most is in the nickel position, just because I think his size and his agility and his speed, I think that's just where he excels better. I think I could see him struggling a little bit on the outside, just against bigger physical corners at the next level. So I think that's probably why I have him ranked a little bit lower than my top two guys, just because I think he is more of a nickel player. And I think he does have some of that, you know, Chris Harris, you know, we talked about Chris Harris with MJ Stewart, but I do see a little bit more of that with Denzel Ward. He's a burner. I think he can lock down primary slot receivers. He can run with anybody. So I think that's super important from the slot position. And he's a willing tackler, but I think that's just somewhere where he can, you know, he can always get better. I think his biggest issue is just locating the ball. And not that he's not good at it, but I just think, you know, getting his head turned around and, you know, finding the ball, a little bit of work that he needs, which it's not a bad thing. It's not anything he can't work on the next level. An NFL coach is going to, you know, get him in their building, and that's probably one of the first things they're going to work on with him. And I don't see it being an issue at the next level, but coming out of college, I think that's one of his issues.
Okay. All right. All right. I love it, though. I love it. We're moving through this top five here, and fire takes all around. Things that are certainly to have people in your mentions. Let's get to number two. Who you got for me?
Yeah, number two. I know this is JR's guy. Like,
yeah, this might put JR in your mentions right here.
I know, but Jair Alexander from Louisville, the cornerback. He's my number two rated corner. I think, you know, obviously the biggest knock on him is his staying on the field, staying healthy. You know, if he can prove that he can stay healthy at the next level, I don't see why he couldn't be a Pro Bowl caliber corner. He's that good. He plays with that attitude. He plays like that guy that, you know, he knows he's better than the guy across from him. His versatility, he can play on the outside, he can play in the nickel. I think that's really important for guys, especially if you're going to be drafted in the top 10, unless you're an elite outside guy. I like versatility. He's 5'11", 190, 195 pounds, right in that range. Like I said, his biggest issue is just staying healthy, because, you know, not being able to stay healthy, you know, kind of worries you when it comes to playing that nickel position in the NFL. If he's going to be a tackler, you know, you have to, you know, run in there and, you know, take on linemen, take on fullbacks, take on tight ends to go get the running back. And so I think that's kind of some of the worries, is just keeping him healthy. He can struggle with getting a little bit grabby at times, but nothing. I don't think that's plenty of things that are correctable. But he's so athletic. He's so good at mirroring receivers, and his awareness and his ability to find the ball and locate his receiver at the same time, I think is just obviously I think it's that good where he's the second rated cornerback in my board. But he's so quick out of his breaks. His read reaction is phenomenal. If he's playing off, he can play off coverage, he can play press coverage, he can play, you know, zone, he can play man. So I think all that versatility is just is what's so exciting about him, is that he doesn't need to be, you know, if you need him to play on the outside, and even if it is to kind of protect him from getting banged up, he can do that. He'll set the edge. I don't think he's all that good at it, but he can set the edge if he needs to. He's so sudden. He's so quick and explosive. He tested really extremely well at the combine, you know, ran under a sub 4.4. He jumped pretty well too. So I think, I think in the next level, he's the kind of guy that could mirror wide receiver ones if he needs to, and jump into this nickel if you need him to be that guy, and because he can run with a lot of those quick twitch slot receivers.
Okay, all right. I mean, you know, this is our custom now. You got me going here with number two. Bring us home, because, you know, like I said, you know, we're leading off this segment. You are not afraid. You are not afraid. And so this right here is probably your biggest jump from consensus.
Yeah, definitely.
This is your guy. This is the guy that I know that you're standing on the table for in the draft room, letting everyone know it's him or nobody else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's your CB1, man?
My CB1's Mike Hughes out of Central Florida. You know, off-field issues will probably, you know, push him down some boards, and which is probably why he won't be the first or second corner taken, which is fine. But I think if you get him in the middle of the late first round, I think you're getting a steal. Even if he might even fall to the second, just because, you know, some of the off-field concerns. But his tape to me at Central Florida this last year, he started at North Carolina real quick. I can kind of jump into that. He started North Carolina. Got kicked out for a fight at a frat party, I think it was. Nothing. I don't know. Like, it's one of those. I'm not going to completely condemn a player for making a mistake at the age of 18, 19 years old by, like, getting into a stupid fight. He ended up going to the JUCO route. And then for his junior year, he ended up spending it at Central Florida, where he immediately became the best defensive player on that team. And one of the best special teams players in the country. Mike Hughes, to me, I've gotten a little bit of flack for it, but I think he's got the best hips in this class. I don't think I've seen many corners kind of, you know, be as fluid as he is in and out of breaks. His ability to read and react, his playmaking ability to go get the ball, his return ability. He's one of the better punt returners in this class. He can play. He can be a kick returner. He's not the biggest guy. He's 5'10", 190. He's got about 31-inch arms. You know, nothing that rides home about. He ran a 4.53 at the combine, but I think he tests a little bit better at his pro day. Nothing too overwhelming. But man, I'm telling you, when you watch this guy's tape, like I said, the way he reads and reacts, his hips, his fluidity. His break in and out, you know, in and out of breaks, and being able to mirror receivers coming out of college, he reminds me a lot of Darrell Revis. And I know Darrell Revis was a top 15 pick, back in 2007 out of University of Pittsburgh. And I know he's a hair taller than Mike Hughes, but I think in terms of their ability to go out on an island and kind of be there by himself and, react off of one player and playing in front of one guy, not having any other responsibilities. I don't think there's a better player in this class that can do that. And I'm really excited about Mike Hughes. I think he can fit into any scheme, any system. He can play nickel if you need him to, based off his size and his hips. I wouldn't be surprised if early on that's where he's playing, just because of his versatility and how quick twitch he is and how fluid his hips are. But man, his ability to go get the ball and attack it, he attacks it better than some receivers. He did a really good job against guys like Anthony Miller, you know, in college. So, who's a really good wide receiver we'll talk about later. I think Mike Hughes is is arguably a top on paper, on film. To me, he's a top 10 player in this class, and I think any team would be smart to take him in the first round, hands down. As long as his off-field issues, you know, are clear and everything like that, I think he's a top 10 player.
Oh, okay. I love it. And like I said, you're never afraid to go bold. But the reasoning that you brought here in terms of just talking about on the field makes a ton of sense. So, yeah, I'm with it. Loving it. Great stuff as always, Miles. And, you know, listeners, thanks for riding this out with us here. You got a lot. You got some safeties. You got some corners. But if you haven't picked it up yet, if you haven't got it, go on over to climbingthepocket.com, grab JR's draft guide. You need that in your life. It's only $5, helping a good cause, getting you some great information, very much like the information that Miles got you today. And as much grief as I was giving Miles about being far off consensus, he's really not that far off JR's big board on most of this stuff here. A little bit of a shuffle, moving guys around. Obviously, Mike Hughes is Miles's guy. But thanks for coming out with me tonight. I'm guessing I'll be talking to you soon here as we keep moving through these top fives through
Yeah, man. Definitely appreciate it.
All right, well, listeners, y'all have a good one. Talk to you soon.